here. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to just open your book and proclaim your word. Just let it go deep and accomplish what you desire to accomplish today. You're so faithful. You're so, you show great forbearance towards us. And just continue to show us how to love you freely and love others freely and to follow you. What it means to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to be back in John 15. This is 2010. We're still in the book of John. And I love it. And one of the things that I love today is, as I looked at this message, and we'll be looking at John 15, about verse 16. Let's say verse 18. Is I feel like, and you'll see as I begin to share this message, that God has been, this week uniquely, He's had us in lab. And here's a teaching that goes along with the lab, which when I was studying this, you know, I've been in it for a year, I was just like, wow, I shouldn't say that because God's word is always so relevant, but it just seems just extra relevant this morning. I'm going to share a little bit about Pastor Walter Hoy's story, and I won't do it near as eloquently as him, but it impacted me. It impacted our kids. He was able to stand up in front of our kids and at Restoration Academy and give just a profound pro-life message. And I've been praying for 2 years that God would raise up an African-American voice for Restoration Academy. And I thought it would come from this person and that person with this big name and that. And God brought someone to us the way of the cross, through suffering. And His message, wow, I know is just going to just continue to bear fruit in the lives of our kids. And one of the things that He shared, and Mike alluded to this, he was in jail for 29 days for doing something as radical as standing on a public sidewalk as a pastor with a sign that says God loves you and your child or your baby, and handing some information, asking them if they would consider an alternative to abortion. And so the city writes an ordinance targeting him in particular, telling him he cannot do that on a public sidewalk. And he did what all courageous believers in faith should do. He said, well, that's not going to work. I'm going to show up. And they put him in jail for 29 days. Could have been longer. And I guess it was 20-something days in, he was just sharing. He just hit a wall and hit a place of discouragement, had a little breakdown where he was just suffering, being away from family and home and friends and just finding himself in a very difficult place. And Jesus began to speak to him. I'm not going to share everything that he shared, but I'll share that later as we get more into this message. Just the profound words that Jesus told him that are very relevant to our text this morning. I tell you, I love hanging out with pro-life people. It just reminded me this week, it's like hanging out with New Testament Christians. I mean, you're on the streets praying and preaching where the gospel should be propagated. You get to see suffering and persecution. I know that doesn't sound exciting, but how many of you get to get the accusation that Jesus got when the Pharisees accused him of being filled with the devil? And you got that accusation the first day we were out there when the head of the clinic was just reeling. How could these people come back over here? And she's screaming at them, you're filled with the devil. And the first thing I thought was, wow, that's what they accused Jesus of. What a high honor to see that happen. And to see miracles take place. It's just a beautiful sign of just New Testament Christianity. It was stirring my heart and, you know, Mike already shared with you what's going on with taking that sidewalk back, you know, for just the civil liberties of being an American, but also for preach the gospel. And Sarah Howell was sharing on Friday. They were out there, and two girls walked away. Amen? Walked away. And we hope they stay away and hope they have these children. And Diane, when the owner of the clinic, she, you know, in response to two people walking away, which is probably around $1,000 to her leaving her property, decides she's going to get out and weed eat. And weed eat rocks in the concrete right behind our young people kneeling and praying, shooting rocks up with their shins. And I mean, just come on, you know? And Sarah says, I just prayed, Lord, break the weed eater. you know, the simple prayer of faith, and she's doing this, and she's doing it around that sign over there on the concrete. Yeah, a lot of grass growing up here. And she does it look, and her weed eater hits the curb, and that little springy part bounces off and rolls down the road. And it stops. And she's looking around, she's trying to fix that weed eater, and she never finds the part. I mean, isn't that exciting? Where else do you get to see things like that happen? I mean, just miracles, you know? I mean, people think, what is Christianity about? A lot of people today are going to think Christianity is about going and gathering on Sunday mornings and drinking my latte in the narthex, and then coming in and hearing some cool preaching and hanging out with some cool people. And, you know, that's not Christianity. I mean, it's really, the impact is what happens beyond these four walls. And so we got to just be stirred up in that this week, and that was just tremendously exciting. Let's look at our text. This is very exciting. As I read this, I know you're going to go, where can I sign up? Where can I sign up for following Jesus? Check this out. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. Wow, this is exciting, isn't it? Makes you want to sign up. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on my account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in the law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. This is a text, that's a powerful text preparing us for persecution. This is a text that teaches us how we're to respond to the world. And I want to start off by kind of defining this word cosmos for us, what the world is all about. This is how I've defined what the world is. And this is just through reading commentaries, listening to Franz Schalka this week and asking him the question, one of my mentors. It's the current of culture that is rapidly moving away from Christ because it has excluded God from where he belongs. And the host of people that are helplessly and blindly caught in this current. And if you want to be persecuted, bring the presence of God back in this parenthesis, where the culture says God doesn't belong here. That's what the pro-life movement is about. They said you can't come here. We won't mess with you. We don't really care about you. But if you come here, watch out. You bring the presence of God in that parenthesis. The current of culture that is rapidly moving away from Christ. And we'll talk more about those that are caught up in that current. We won't hit that this week. That's going to be in the next couple weeks. The promise here is that this current and the people caught up in it will hate us as it hated Christ. Are you excited about that? I mean, where do I sign up? I mean, meditate with me for a moment. Meditate with me about how they hated Christ. This isn't close your eyes and see yourself on the beach meditation. Let's meditate for a moment how they hated Christ. This promise we have. Okay, they falsely accused him. They ostracized him. They made fun of him, rejected him, humiliated him, misunderstood him, beat him, and crucified him. Where do I sign up? I mean, that's the meditation that this scripture is offering. They're going to hate you like they hated me. Jesus knew, and this is a preparation text. Remember, this is right before Jesus goes to be crucified. Jesus knew that we would always have the tendency to back down when we begin to share in his suffering. He knew that. He knows us. He knew his disciples. He knows us. He knows that we will always have the tendency to back down, back away, camp out, and quit climbing, as Ben was sharing in Tuscaloosa a couple of weeks ago, when we begin to share in Christ's suffering. In verse 16:1, I have said these things to you to keep you from falling away. I'm just preparing you for what's about to happen. Remember the context with the Apostle John as he's writing this in 100 AD. There's no temple in Jerusalem. It's gone. His friends have been killed, possessions taken. He's living in another city writing this book. He is clinging to Christ. His clinging to Christ has cost him these things. Everything that his soul would be tempted to cling to in this world was being stripped away as he was clinging to Christ. The Apostle John is writing this, retelling these words to us. Jesus knows our tendency. What tempts us, I want to say this morning, from falling away is not the persecution and the trial. It's how we analyze and respond to it. It's what we think about it. It's how we analyze and respond to it. This was John's temptation. This was Pastor Hoy's temptation 20-something days into jail. This is our temptation when we begin to share in the sufferings of Christ. And there are three human responses that I want to look at over the next 3 weeks. We're going to talk about one today. And remember, here's the worldview clash here. Christianity says, I change for your benefit. The emphasis is always on me. Our flesh says, you change for my benefit. I want everything out there to get better so I can be better. And that's just, we know that's the flesh. Here's the fleshly response. There's three fleshly responses I want to look at. One is entitlement, and that's in our text today. The other is expectation specifically of non-believers. And the last is self-reliance. And I believe Jesus is addressing all three of these in our text. And we're going to start by looking at the word entitlement, our sense of entitlement, and really what that means. I love this guy. It's sort of a caricature of me. Big nose, receding hairline, a little short. That's me when this sense of entitlement rises up in me. This is what goes on in all of us. When faced with an obstacle, I declare, I do not deserve this. Rather, I deserve that. That's what happens in us. I don't deserve this. I mean, I'm a relatively good person. Come on. I don't deserve this. In fact, I deserve that. And that occurs because of this. It happens when we begin to think we deserve what the Scriptures have not promised. Pretty simple, isn't it? We begin to think we deserve what the Scriptures have not promised. Let's look at John 16:33. This is sort of a bumper sticker verse. You all know it. And it's sort of the bookmark to Jesus' teaching here. John 14:1 is sort of the first bookmark where he says, he encourages us to believe in God and not let our hearts be troubled. This is very similar. John 16:33, you all know it. In the world, let me back up a little bit. I have said these things to you that you may have peace in me. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. This is a summary verse for the promises of Scripture. It's kind of a packed verse. It's sort of a synthesis of what we're promised in Scripture. It teaches us why God provides for us the way He does. Let's talk about the promises that are in this Scripture. Again, it's sort of a summary of all the promises of Scripture. What are we promised? We're promised trouble, right? Tribulation. We're promised provision, or blessing, or the word here is peace, and we're also promised victory. We're promised these three things. This is the promises that we've already talked about, the trouble, the suffering as Christ suffered, being invited to share in His suffering. But this word provision, or the word peace here, I give you peace in me, peace. What is peace? Peace is every spiritual blessing we will ever need, period. Every spiritual blessing we will ever need. This is a packed, packed word. Every spiritual blessing you'll ever need is found in me. But here's the deal. For what purpose? For what purpose am I lavishing upon you every spiritual blessing you'll ever need? For the purpose of fulfilling your calling, not your comfort. There's the rub. I have called you to participate in my grand story purpose of redeeming all things in Christ and completely reversing the effects of sin. Wow! And I'm going to provide for you every spiritual blessing you'll need to fulfill that calling. That's the promise that's here. It's not some tranquility to just just deal with the storms of life. I think that's what we kind of think it is, kind of a warm fuzzy to help us tolerate the storms of life. No, this is the faith and the courage to stay and weather the storm while advancing the kingdom of God. That's the peace that He gives us. To weather the storm while advancing the kingdom of God. Every spiritual blessing we'll need. What a powerful word. Anchored in the promise that He has overcome the world. He has put this plan in motion that will not be stopped until it accomplishes its purpose. It will not be stopped. If we consider the same word peace in Luke 2:14, listen to this declaration. You're familiar with it. You'll hear it during Advent. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom He has pleased. This word peace, see, what's happened is this is the first time where God's plan is being made visible. It's been planned since the beginning of time, but now it's visible. This angel is declaring this baby is going to grow up, He's going to die, resurrect, and ascend and rule at the right hand of His Father. And this is the first time you're seeing it. And I've given you every spiritual blessing you'll ever need to participate in this plan that will accomplish its purpose. It's unstoppable. It's an awesome word. This is what He promises us, but sometimes when we face an obstacle, we begin to think we deserve something that Scripture does not promise. I know what I need more than God knows, right? And we don't say that. That's heretical, isn't it? But we think it. We feel it. I know what I need more than God does. I mean, we do that. We have that tendency to begin to think, I deserve this. I don't deserve that. You know, we look around us and that entitlement begins to set in. And guess what happens? It leads to doubt. It leads to covetousness. As we're looking around us, and why does that person not seem to go, what? It leads to resentment. It leads to bitterness. It leads to a dark, dead place. We've all been there, and we'll have to fight it off again, I'm sure. See, Scripture doesn't promise us the American dream, does it? The perfect house, the perfect car, the perfect spouse, the perfect job, the perfect retirement, the perfect toys, the list goes on and on and on of what we think that we need and what society tells us that we need. This is what Pastor Walter was facing in jail. He was, as he confessed to us the other night, I miss my wife. I miss my children. I miss my home. I could lose my job. I could lose my financial security. All this stuff, knowing that when he stood before that judge, regardless of what the judge said, he was going to go back out there and he was facing a minimum sentence of 2 years. And just said this, Jesus spoke to him. And I paraphrase, he could do it much better than me. But one of the things that Jesus said is the extent to which you love this world, this cosmos, is the extent to which you will love and serve me. Stripping all that stuff away, the extent to which our soul clings to the things of this world is the extent to which we will cling to Jesus as He sets His face towards Jerusalem, the way of suffering. The extent to which our soul clings to the things of this world is the extent to which we will cling to Jesus when He faces Jerusalem. And we're invited to share in His sufferings. And I'm not talking about bad things. Good things. Good things when we talk about relationships and the way He provides for us. But why does He provide for us? To fulfill our calling, not our comfort. He shared about His own repentance and surrender, staying the course, not falling away. Here's the question to us, what will we do? What will we do when we face various trials? And they come in multiple forms. I'm not talking about just the trial of being persecuted while you're fulfilling your ministry. It could be your personal health. It could be just life. It rains on the just and the unjust, the loss and the trauma and the hardships of life. How will we respond to suffering? What will we do? That's the question that's in our face today and in our hearts. Will we allow the Holy Spirit to show us where our soul clings to the things of this world? Will we raise our children in this reality? Mike, what a wonderful story of the 14-year-old daughter saying, I want to cross the street. He wasn't prepared for that question. We think that our job as parents is to buffer and protect our children, when it's really to equip them in their calling. And that calling may end up at the corner of, what is it, 8th and 17th and 10th on a public sidewalk. It might end up in a mud hut in the Sudan. It might end up, some of you young people might be moving back into this community of Fairfield for the overall generational revitalization that needs to take place here. I think it's going to take at least 3 generations to see it happen. We are called to equip our children in their calling. How will we respond as a church when we are persecuted and when we suffer corporately? You know, I found out yesterday the blessing of Saturday morning as I approached the clinic was that the church was named in a lawsuit. Hallelujah. God, a few days after I've become the rector. This is wonderful. I think it's very bogus. I really do. I mean, I don't think it's going to go anywhere. But let's just say, for instance, that it does. Let's just say we lose our property. I want to just go down that alley. What if we did? We don't have assets. I can't get money. But we'd have to give them our property. What would they do if they took this holy, beautiful place away from us? We just say, I'm done with this. I don't deserve this. I'm going somewhere else. Are we going to meet in the park? What is this? We have done this before. We sojourned, didn't we? We were without a home for a couple years. I don't think we're going to have to do it again. I don't know what the future will hold in terms of the way the world will unleash its hatred. I don't know that. But I do know that we need to cling to Christ and allow the Holy Spirit to sever the ties of our soul to this world. I want to issue a challenge this week, because this is a very significant time. I want everybody to fast this week. And I'm not going to tell you, you let the Holy Spirit define your fast. It may be a meal a day. It may be from something that's just distracted you. And I want you to fill that time, whatever that was, with some prayer and intercession. And the first thing I want you to do, and the first thing I want me to do, is to sit back and say, first of all, let the Holy Spirit search our heart and just reveal to us our love of the world. Things that we cling to for our own comfort, that we think we need. Those conditions that we put on Christ. I'll follow you up to this point. Allow the Holy Spirit to search our heart. That's number one. And number two, I want to pray for success. That this ground that was taken early this week will stand. The gospel needs to be preached on that sidewalk. It's very, very crucial. So I want you to enter into a fast with me in faith that He will provide every spiritual, He has provided every spiritual blessing that we need to fulfill our calling. In me, you will have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. But be of good courage, for I've overcome the world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's stand and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.